In John chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 6, 7, and 8. You'll have to bear with me this morning because we're going to be talking about the Apostle John and John the Baptist. And I'm hoping not to confuse y'all by which John I'm talking about, because I'll be talking about both of them quite a bit. So bear with me if I don't clarify which John when I say, well, John says and John says. But the Lord will be gracious. If you would stand out of the honor of the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, Lord, who am I? Father, to be given such a tremendous privilege to preach your word. Father, I need you. Father, I need your spirit. I need your grace. Lord, help me to be, Lord, in weakness and trembling and fear. And Father, I'd ask that your grace would be sufficient in my weakness. Father, please speak. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As we've noted previously and been looking, John the author, the Apostle John, is laying out a story for us, a book for us, to prove that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is divine, he is the Son of God, and that life is only found in him. And he's given us the introduction about Jesus being the Word, and the Word being God, and the Word with God, and how life was in him. And now he's going to call, as it were, his first witness, which is John the Baptist. And we've already read his testimony, read John the Baptist's witness. But he's going to kind of introduce to us John the Baptist's credentials and why we should believe and listen to John the Baptist. It would help if you would think with me of a courtroom. And in many respects, God is the judge and he is the lawgiver. And John the Baptist is here being called as a witness. And we're going to hear his testimony. We've already read it this morning in the scripture reading. But the Apostle John here is kind of giving the introduction to his witness as to why you should listen to what John the Baptist has to say. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. In verse 6 it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The very first thing we see about John the Baptist is that John the Baptist was sent from God. He was a man sent from God. He comes to us from God, bearing the Word of God to us. To reject what John the Baptist has to say is to reject what God has to say. If you notice at the end of John the Baptist's testimony, what we read this morning, what did he say? He said, well, the one that sent me, he said that when you see the Spirit of God descend on someone, that's the one. Okay? What John proclaims is what God told him to proclaim. He is a man sent from God to speak to us for God. And to reject what John the Baptist has to say is to reject what God has to say, because John the Baptist is, as he said, he's just a voice. He's just a mouthpiece to proclaim what God wants us to hear. John is just a man sent from God, as were all the prophets, men sent from God. And to reject their words is to reject God. Okay, this is the whole of Scripture. The whole of Scripture is holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit. They wrote what they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. So to reject the witness of John the Baptist is not just to reject a man, but is to reject God who sent the man. Now here, the Apostle John does not get into too much the miraculous birth of John the Baptist or the circumstances surrounding his birth, but we know from the other gospel writers that John the Baptist was a man that was born by a miraculous conception. His mother was very old and unable to have children. Okay, we know that he was born because of a vision of an angel that Zacharias, his father, had in the temple, and his father was unable to speak until he was born and named John. We know that all of these miraculous surroundings surrounded John's birth. But the thing that we need to remember the most is not necessarily the miracles, but what those miracles say concerning John. That John is a man sent directly from God to us. And what he says, we must believe, because what he says comes directly from God. The next thing we see about John is the same came for a witness. Verse 7, to bear witness of the light. John is just a witness. That's all he is. Now, in Christian circles, we've lost what being a witness really means. How many of y'all have ever heard the phrase Christianese? Do you know what Christianese is? Hey, that's the language that Christians speak, you know, like, oh, bless their heart. Nobody knows what it means, but we Christians all know what it means. We've done that with the word witness. The word witness has become a how we try to convince people to come to Jesus. That's what it means by the word witness. That's what we say in Christianity. But that's not what the word witness means. It's just a legal term. It's someone who has been called to come and speak the truth, to testify what they have heard and what they have seen. And that is what John the Baptist is. John the Baptist is very simply a witness. He comes just to tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John is not here to get a following. In fact, if anything, John is here to get rid of his following so that his following follows Christ. He's not here to make a name for himself. He's not here for his likeness to be made in a marble statue. He's not here to build a kingdom or build a tower. He is just here to speak the truth. And boy, does he speak the truth. He speaks it to everyone. And there is no compromise in John the Baptist. From everyone, from Herod and his adultery, to the soldiers and their violence, to the tax collectors and their theft, every aspect of society, from the religious Pharisees and their hypocrisy, he calls them snakes running from the wrath to come. He does not mince words, he speaks the truth, and that's it. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't dress it up. He doesn't try to convince people. He just preaches the truth. That's all witnesses do. As a witness, you're not there to offer your opinion. If you're called as a witness in a court case, you're not there to guess what happened or to give your assumptions. You're just there to tell the truth. And that's all that John the Baptist does. He just speaks the truth. He speaks the truth about God's law and God's righteousness and God's judgment to come. He speaks the truth about public officials and their sin. He speaks the truth of religious people and their sin. He speaks the truth of poor people and their sin. He speaks of sin. He speaks of righteousness. He speaks of judgment. And he proclaims that they must repent, which is the truth. He proclaims what God has told them to do. He is simply telling the truth. That's all a witness is called to do. But most importantly, John the Baptist tells the truth concerning Jesus Christ when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." You see, the purpose of all of his preaching was to convince men. His testimony, his witness, was to convince men that Jesus is the Christ and that forgiveness of sins is only found in Jesus. And so what he comes to do is to tell the truth concerning sin, concerning Jesus, concerning God, concerning wrath, concerning forgiveness. He just tells the truth. The next thing we see concerning John says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist is the greatest man that has ever lived. Jesus said so. Well, he said he was the greatest man ever born of a woman, which means he's the greatest man that ever lived. I haven't met a man not born of a woman yet. Okay? John the Baptist was the greatest prophet the world has ever seen. The greatest preacher the world has ever seen. The greatest man the world has ever seen. But notice what the Apostle John says about John the Baptist. Don't follow him. He's not the light. He's only a witness to the light. He's only here to tell you about the light. But John the Baptist isn't the light. Jesus Christ is the light. You see that? You see, what John the Apostle is trying to get away from here is this celebrity pastor hero worship. You don't follow John the Baptist. You follow Jesus. John the Baptist isn't a light. All he is a witness to the light. John the Baptist isn't the Word of God. He's just the voice that proclaims the Word of God. He's not the light. He's just the voice that proclaims the light and speaks to the light. He's not the truth. He only speaks the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the Word. And Jesus Christ is the one that we must follow. You see, to follow John the Baptist is to follow Jesus, because John the Baptist says, "Don't follow me, follow Jesus." You see, you can't accept Jesus, you can't accept John the Baptist's teaching and reject Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist's teaching is follow Jesus Christ. You see, what the whole point of John the Baptist, the Apostle John, and even all of the prophets, Jesus says all the prophets testify of him. The point of every verse of Scripture is, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." That's the whole point, is to point everyone away from men, away from flesh, away from works and deeds, and to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world that dispels the darkness. You see, there is no hope found in John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man who needed Jesus. Remember when Jesus came to be baptized, what did John say to him? He said, "You need to baptize me." Because you see, John the Baptist is merely a man. He is a man sent from God, but he's only a man. Jesus Christ is a God who became man. And there is a world of difference. You see, all the prophets are merely men. Good men, great men, godly men. But Jesus Christ is more than a man. He is God who became a man. And so you can't even put John the Baptist and Jesus Christ on the same plane. No, one's just a voice, one's just a testimony, one's just a witness. But Jesus Christ is the light, Jesus Christ is the life, Jesus Christ is the truth, Jesus Christ is the Word. And all the testimony of John and all the prophets points to one man, and it's not John. It's Jesus. That's the testimony here. That's a summary of John the Baptist's testimony. In the weeks to come, we'll read through John's testimony concerning Christ. But the one thing you need to know about John's testimony is it's all about Christ, not about him. He is there to point people to Jesus, not to himself. You remember when John's followers came to John and said, "John, you're losing followers. They're all following Jesus." What did John say? He said, "He must increase, I must decrease." In fact, what did he tell his followers? "Follow that man, not me. Behold the Lamb of God." Okay? John is getting rid of his disciples because he wants his disciples to follow Jesus, not himself. So John is a great man, but he's only a witness to God who became a man, Jesus Christ. The last thing we see about John's testimony is in verse 7. "The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Why did John give his testimony? He gave his testimony for this reason, that men might believe in Jesus Christ through his testimony. That's it. That was the goal of his life. The goal of John the Baptist's entire life was that men might believe in Jesus Christ. That was his whole ministry. That was why he said everything he said. That's why he preached the way he preached. He was not there to make moral reforms in society. No, he was there to preach the law of God, to show men that they were sinners under the wrath of God, and that Jesus Christ was the Lamb that saves from the wrath of God and saves from sin. That was the whole purpose, was that sinful men might turn from their sin and turn to Christ. That was the whole purpose of his existence. That was the only reason he was sent. If you look at John's life was he never got married. We don't read of anything but him living in the desert, wearing a camel skin with a leather belt, eating locusts and honey. We don't read about anything else in his life except that he preached with great power. And there was one point of his whole life, and that is that men might believe in Christ. He didn't live for this world. He didn't have a home. He didn't have nice clothes. He didn't have a family left. He wasn't there to become Mr. Universe and do bodybuilding and all the other things. He was there for one reason: that men might believe in Jesus. Which means if you read what John the Baptist has to say, and you come up with something other than believe in Jesus Christ, you miss the whole point of everything John the Baptist had to say. If you look at his life and you get something other than believe in Christ, you miss the whole point of his life. Because that was the point of John the Baptist's life. Now there is a ton of application from this for us today. In fact, we could look at this for several months because of all that this insinuates and applies to us. The very first thing, we talked about John being a man sent from God. The truth be told, all the apostles and all the prophets are men sent from God to speak for God to us. That's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is holy men who were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are the very words of God that came out of the mouths of men, but they were put into the men's mouths by God, just as John was a man sent from God. And all of the apostles and all of the prophets point to Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear me on this, because this is very important. You cannot accept Christ and reject the testimony of John the Baptist. Because what was the testimony of John the Baptist? Jesus Christ. You cannot accept Jesus Christ and reject the testimony of Moses in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Why? Because Moses, his whole point was to point to Jesus. If I could illustrate it to you this way, it's as if Jesus Christ is true north, and all the apostles and all the prophets are a compass that point due north. And that means if I am following Christ, I will be in line with every one of the apostles and prophets and their teachings. Okay? You do not have the luxury as a Christian to pick out portions of Scripture and say, I'll accept this one, but I won't accept that one. No, all Scripture points to Christ. And if you reject Scripture, you reject the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus Christ. And this is something that has to be proclaimed, because I hear these people and I say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. There is no such thing as a New Testament Christian, unless you mean a New Testament Christian that believes the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament testifies to Jesus Christ. You can't accept the New Testament and reject the Old. There are people who say, well, you know, I don't like all that hell stuff. I'm sorry. You're not called to like it. You have to accept it, though. Because Jesus said it. And to reject what Jesus said is to reject Jesus. And I've said this before, and I've never had somebody take me up on it. But please explain to me how you can be a believer in Jesus that doesn't believe what Jesus says. How can you be a follower of Jesus Christ that doesn't follow Jesus Christ? How can you be a Bible believer that doesn't believe the Bible? But you know what happens? Is good, supposedly Christian people and churches all across the Bible Belt South that thump their Bibles don't follow what the Bible actually says. And I would ask you, how can you reject the Word and accept the Word? How can you not follow John but follow Jesus? How can you reject what Isaiah says when he talks about Jesus, but accept Jesus? It's impossible. Because the whole of Scripture is about Jesus Christ. And if you reject one portion of Scripture, you are rejecting Jesus Christ. But what happens is we do, and I hate to pick on us as Floridians, but you all remember like a long time ago, like the hanging chads of Oates things with Al Gore and George Bush? You remember there was the ballots and they pushed the little thing and the little hole kind of hang out halfway and it's called a hanging chad. Y'all remember that? I know it's bad memories for us as Floridians. We were made fun of for many years. But you know what they tried to do? They tried to discount all those votes. They said, well, we can't tell who they really meant to vote for, so let's throw it out. You know, a lot of Christians do that with God's Word. You come to them and you say, this is what the Bible says. And let's move on. You don't have that luxury. I've talked to people before And I said, this is what the Bible says to do. This is what Jesus says to do. Well, I don't think it, let's change the subject. You don't have that option. I don't have that option. We have to either follow Christ or reject Him. It's all or nothing. There is no middle ground. Okay? In Scripture, it's black and white. It's light and darkness. It's either you're for Christ or you're against Christ. And you are not afforded the option of I'll believe in Jesus and go to heaven, but I'll reject what Jesus has to say. Because what does Jesus say about that? Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The phrase workers of iniquity there means people who rejected what I taught them to do. That's the kind of common English. It's lawless ones, or people who lived as if there was no law, or lived as if there was no teaching. You see, what you and I are called to do is search the Scriptures. And if it condemns us, it condemns us. And we must repent and turn to Christ for forgiveness and ask for grace to live differently. We don't have the option of saying, ooh, that Scripture condemns me. You know what, I'll change it and move on. I remember there was a man several years ago that was attending our church, and he came to me and he had a question. This is when I was going through the Sermon on the Mount. You remember Matthew 6, right after the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And he asked me, what does that mean? I said, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. That's not much of an interpretation. It's pretty much just re-saying it. And his response was basically this. This was his response. But I know my sins are forgiven even though I haven't forgiven other people. And I know I'm a Christian and I know I'm going to heaven even though I won't forgive all these people. So how can that verse say that? And you know what he chose to do? To say that the verse that says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven, doesn't mean if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So he just kind of removed the verse and went on with his life because he was a good Christian man who didn't forgive other people. You don't have that option. A forgiven man forgives. And if a man doesn't forgive, it's because he's not forgiven. You will know them by their fruits. I have people have a problem with that. Even though Jesus said it, you, talking about believers, will know them by their fruit. Well, we shouldn't really examine people's fruit. Jesus commanded us to. You see, if you reject the idea of fruit, then you reject Jesus. You don't have that option. You see, as a Christian, you are bound to the Word of God. Because this is directly from God. And to reject it is to reject Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Another bit of application from this idea of John being a man sent from God is John's whole testimony was to Christ. Now, we know that John was a man sent from God, and we know that John's testimony is true because it's recorded in Scripture. But John's not the light, though. Jesus is the light. And many times as believers, we can really get the celebrity preacher mindset, and we really lock into one man's teaching. And sometimes that one man falls into sin and our whole world implodes. Well, listen, the compass is just there to point you north. Okay, and you only follow the compass so long as it's true. And if the compass starts leading you south, you just throw the compass away. Listen, you don't listen to me. You listen to the Word of God. Don't follow me. Follow Christ. Don't get caught up because of what this preacher says or that preacher says. They're just a man. And even if they are a godly man, they're just a man. You are to follow Jesus, not man. And even though John the Baptist is a man sent from God, you know what John the Baptist tells people to do? Don't follow me, follow Christ. You see, we can get so wrapped up in men. Men are sinners. Men make mistakes. Men misinterpret Scripture. Many times men are nothing more than wolves in sheep's clothing. But Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Follow Him. And follow Him alone. And so long as you find a man that will teach the Word of God and point you to Christ, then you listen to that man. But when that man begins to point you away from Christ, you reject him. And you move on. and keep following Christ. Some other words of application. John came to be a witness. And we have been commanded to be witnesses for Christ. And as I said earlier, we've kind of lost this idea. You see, to be a witness for Christ, according to Matthew 28, that means we're supposed to teach people everything Jesus has commanded. We are to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, some people have taken it upon themselves to be PR people for Jesus. And that means, you know, we've got to go around and make Jesus look good. Because, you know, if we speak on certain sins in our society, then that makes Jesus look bad, and Jesus doesn't have a very good, you know, PR vote, you know, because people do the approval rating of the president. Well, you know, Jesus doesn't have a very high approval rating in our country because, you know, Jesus wasn't in favor of, you know, marriage and sexuality only within marriage between a man and a woman for life. You know, Jesus said some things about divorce, and that kind of takes some people off, so we need to do PR for Jesus. No, you're supposed to tell the truth. That's it. That's all you're supposed to do, is tell the truth. Some people say, I don't know what to say. Just the truth. Well, people may not like it. Have you ever heard of the Witness Protection Program? Why? Because when you testify in court, people will want to kill you. It's true. And you know what? When you stand like Stephen and proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ being the Son of God who is crucified and is risen again, they'll want to kill you. What happened to John the Baptist as a witness? For speaking about the truth concerning Herod. He got his head cut off. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." This idea that we want to be popular and liked by the world, Jesus pronounces a curse upon that. You see, Leonard Ravenhill said it this way, and it's if you think about it for a while, it will really change the way you look at things. He said this. He said, "The world could not get along with the most holy man that's ever lived, Jesus Christ. How on earth can it get along with you and me?" There's only one way it can get along with you and me, and that's if we're not holy like him. If we keep our mouth shut and don't speak the truth. Some people put love and truth as like these antonyms, you know. Well, you can do all that speaking the truth thing. I'll do the love and people thing. You mean it's love people if you lie to them? How is it loving someone to lie to them? How is it loving someone to know that Jesus spoke of wrath and hell and condemnation and spoke about sin and not do the same? That is not love. Love speaks the truth. The whole truth. I mean, look at John the Baptist. Not only did he publicly preach against Herod's sin, but when soldiers came, he preached against their sin. That takes a lot of boldness to speak to a man holding a sword that can cut your head off. And eventually one of the soldiers did cut his head off at Herod's command. But you know what? You and I are only called to speak the truth. Not to dress the truth up, to make it look pretty. Not to sugarcoat it so people can accept it better. But to proclaim the truth. And the truth is this, is we are sinners against a holy God. And because of that sin, we deserve His wrath. But that God is loving and gracious and merciful, patient and kind, and sent His Son to die on the cross. Bear the wrath of God that we deserve. So that through faith in Him and His resurrection from the dead, we might be forgiven and accepted before God. Not because of anything we'd have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's the truth. And we as Christians, we tend to go to one extreme or the other. We tend to go to this extreme of where we only just preach rules and laws. We've done this with the things like abortion and homosexuality. Okay, listen, the Bible is very clear that abortion is murder. It's very clear. But it's also very clear that ladies who've had an abortion can be forgiven, can be received and accepted before God because Jesus Christ died for people who had an abortion. And so often we preach the law part that never preach the Jesus part. We do the same thing when it comes to homosexuality. Have you never read in 1 Corinthians what it says after, when 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, where it says that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God? Have you ever read the next verse? You know what the next verse says? And such were some of you, but now you are sanctified, now you are washed. You see, we condemn homosexuality and never preach that Jesus Christ is a Savior for those who are enslaved to sexual sin, be it pornography, be it homosexuality, be it adultery. Jesus Christ can save you and set you free and make you a new creature and wash away your sins and make you accepted before God. That's the truth. Yes, the Bible speaks against drunkenness. But the Bible also speaks that the Spirit of God can change a drunk and make him sober. And you see, so often we run to that extreme of preaching the law. John the Baptist preached the law so that men might be convicted of their sin, and then he showed them the Savior from their sin, Jesus Christ. But sometimes we get in the opposite extreme, and all we want to talk to is the nice things. It's kind of like, you know, love, flowers, rainbows, and puppy dogs is all Jesus ever talked about. Heaven and streets of gold. But the truth is that unless you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you will be judged. And you will go to hell. And the most loving thing you and I can do is to tell people the truth. The whole truth. We can't afford to leave out one sin. We can't afford to leave out one teaching. We must teach as Jesus Christ commanded us to do in Matthew 28. We must teach people everything He commanded. We must. And we don't have the luxury of ignoring one part or another. Next thing we see in terms of application, we need to be a witness and tell the truth. But the whole point of all of this is that men might believe. You know, that's the reason you exist, is to bring glory to God by turning people to Him. That's the reason you exist. People sometimes in the midst of suffering will say, why didn't God just take me to heaven after I accepted Christ? Because if God had taken the person before you to heaven, they would never share the gospel with you and you wouldn't be going to heaven. That's why. You exist to be a witness to Jesus Christ and His saving grace. You're not here to wear nice clothes and have a nice house and have lots of money and eat good food. You may end up eating locusts and wild honey like John the Baptist did. But if men believe in Jesus Christ because of your testimony, you will have been a success. That's the whole purpose. Listen, we don't exist to draw a crowd. Oh, if you preach the truth, you will draw a crowd. And most of them will come with sticks and stones. John the Baptist had a lot of crowds. And cost him his head. We're not here to build a Tower of Babel to our name. We're not here so that people would know who we are. We exist to proclaim, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That's why you have a job, by the way. Is to go to work and proclaim at that workplace that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why you have friends, neighbors, is to go to them and speak the truth that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You see, we must decrease and He must increase. Let me ask you, are you testifying the truth concerning Jesus Christ? Are you telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Are you being a faithful witness? Are you seeking to convince your children and your grandchildren through your testimony, through the truth of Scripture, to believe in Christ and follow Him? Lastly, I would be remiss in asking, but do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Him? Or have you rejected his testimony and the testimony of John the Baptist and all the prophets? You see, there is only life found in Christ. John the Baptist doesn't testify to church attendance. He doesn't testify to religious deeds. He doesn't testify to pilgrimages and chants and prayers. He testifies to Christ. Because salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Do you know Him? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Because they're only forgiven in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen.